Yeah, so that the pressing question, I mean, apart from the knife theory, is what does it mean for individuals, for companies, and for societies? And I will start with the individual level, because I think the transformation has to start in every one of us. We cannot expect governments or politicians to implement or to do anything which we are not ready to do ourselves. So we have to start with ourselves, which does not mean that we should not put pressure on the governments as well. We start within ourselves, and the first thing I have to say is that there is no individual, there's no one size fits all. So it's really about finding our own path to implement sustainability in our life. And the first question that we need to ask ourselves, and this is again something that I'm very grateful to Alan Wallace from his training on cultivating emotional balance. The first question we have to ask ourselves is, how many material things do we need to be happy? Where does our happiness come from? You know, how much material, how do we balance inner resources and outer resources? And to be very honest with ourselves. So that's the first question that we need to ask ourselves. Do we need to go shopping? I mean, maybe we do. I mean, I'm not saying, and I don't like the approach of telling other people what they're supposed to do, especially when... So the first individual question that we need to ask ourselves, how much material resources do we need to be happy? And this is a really an individual question where it can only be an individual answer. And then following that, we need to develop awareness of our global interconnectedness. We've seen that sustainability is all about being interconnected. And this is an important aspect. We have to develop awareness of our interconnectedness with others. And that also means being aware of our own footprint in this world. How many resources do we use up as individuals in our daily life? I mean, there are many calculators in the internet to find out your carbon footprint, but it's good not to take only into account the carbon footprint. Think about also the social aspects. Whatever we buy, whenever we buy something, we make a choice. And we have, as consumers, we have to demand for transparency. How are the products produced that we use? How do the people, in which conditions do the people live that make our clothes? Because these are really depressing questions. But it starts from within. It started from becoming aware that whatever we are wearing, eating, buying, whatever we do, comes from a connection with others. And those who are very much involved in Dharma of you already are used to think in terms of dependent arising, but I think this idea of the global interconnectedness is important. And again, also not just individuals, but also companies can implement sustainability. And here, when we talk about companies, it's important to be aware of the risk of greenwashing. We should, when we as consumers buy something from companies and they start all having their nice sustainable strategies and all their sustainable their glossy brochures saying how sustainable we are, we have to check them on that. And company being implementing sustainability means, first of all, social responsibility towards their employees, towards their suppliers. In Germany now, there is a lot of discussion about having to comply also for their subcontractors. Because very often this is the most difficult business model to have subcontractors and then to say my employers are all okay, the other ones I don't care. And having diversity and equality inside the company and fairness to generation. Fairness in all generations means being fair to the elder employers in the company, means giving chances to the young people who come in the employment market and who have aspirations and ambitions for their life, means accepting diversity and accepting equality in the workplace. Then the ecological balance, of course, means how the buildings, the waste management, but also all the issue of product design. What kind of products are designed? How long lasting are the products that are designed, and how much resources are used up for this product? And then economic capability, the third dimension of sustainability, means how does a company go on with procurement? Where do they buy the materials from that they use for their products? And how are they purchased, under which conditions? And one of the big, big problems in our global world are trade agreements, which squeeze economies in half the world, because most of the, we have to be honest that most of trade agreements that we have with African countries are to our advantage. It's just the way it is. And trade agreements are a very important point that we have to engage in to develop them further. And of course, as a society, we should judge our governments for their ability to develop and to implement frameworks for energy transition, to have climate change protection, but also to have social equality and economic fairness. To be honest, I mean, I've been working as an engineer in sustainable energy for 20 years, and I'm sort of getting a bit impatient when I see all this wonderful solution for climate change that imply that people have their own house, their own PV panels, their own electric cars, which means the majority of the people will not be able to afford this kind of solution. And that's not my idea of energy transition, because I want energy transition and climate change protection for everyone and not just for those who can afford it. That's not my idea. So this is the point where it becomes very political, of course. But then again, the heart of sustainability is global. These problems are global. And that was the reason why the United Nations, along with this, with the 17 Sustainable Development Goals, launched the slogan, Leave No One Behind. And it's a really powerful slogan. And I hope my connection will be enough to show you a second video about what this slogan of Leave No One Behind means.
I was refugee in Pakistan, I was refugee in Iran, I was refugee in Dubai, and now I'm a refugee in France.
Les gens, quand tu es handicapé, ils n'essaient même pas de voir ce que tu es capable de faire, mais ils te jugent à travers ton handicap.
Haberme vendido no fue una buena idea.
यहाँ की लड़कियाँ कुछ नहीं कर सकती।
लाइट रहे, मैंने उजियार रहे, हमरो बाल बचा उजियार रहे।
अगर मम्मी फुमीदम भी नहीं, सब नहीं, बहुत मुश्किल नहीं खाते।
Porque se todo mundo tivesse alimento em casa, ela podia raciocinar. Então, poderia ser pobre, mas teria a inteligência na cabeça para poder sair dali.
Parce que na mukilu mutu mutu, a zona missiona é onde a batinde lá.
I've left my husband to be with a woman, and for me that's a huge step in my country as an African woman to do that. I do have a strong voice and I'm strong as a woman speaking for myself.
Nous devons dire au monde que nous existons, que vous êtes là, et je suis sûr qu'aucune misère, aucune pauvreté extrême n'est pas une fatalité. On peut la combattre.
So here we are. And this leads us directly to the question, how do we inspire people to live in a sustainable, more sustainable way? I mean, when I started working on this talk, I felt, wow, leave no one behind. It feels overwhelming. I mean, being confronted with the poverty and the misery in the world, it is overwhelming. And that, I think that's precisely one of the reasons why many people choose to ignore the topics, because it's better not to know. It's better to be in our bubble and not be confronted with the misery. And then the idea that I thought that I had when I was thinking about it, in a way, I don't know how many of you have Buddhist backgrounds, but leave no one behind feels in a way equally overwhelming, like when we think of bodhisattva vows and I think, how on earth are we ever going to do it? We cannot save every being. No, we cannot do it. We're not able to do it. And the point is, it requires exactly the same kind of courage. It's nothing else. It's that, to develop the courage that we can do it. And this is where emotional intelligence and our inner strength comes in, that we need to learn how to help others, how to take action for others without being overwhelmed. Because if we are overwhelmed, we'll not be able to help anyone in a skillful way. And this is the point where our programs can help, because we need to develop the strength to face our emotions and also the reactions that are triggered by seeing these images of poverty, of misery, of inequality, to use it in a good way. I mean, we need the right doses of anger to get ourselves going, but then we have to see that we don't get overwhelmed. And Daniel Goleman says it's very smart, very nicely at this emotional intelligence conference. We need to learn to be smart about our feelings, meaning we acknowledge that they are there, we become aware of them, and we know how to deal with them. And that is what I learned in cultivating emotional balance. That is a big part of the emotional intelligence part of Daniel Goleman. And I think that's an important point that can also be implemented by the universal education programs. And the point with emotional intelligence, what Daniel Goleman says, the important thing is to develop our personal and our global agency, developing a sense of agency. That's how he calls it. So he says a personal energy agency is that within ourselves that we have the possibility to influence and then actually want to influence, taking actions within ourselves and then turn it into a global agency, which means developing our capacity to positively impact the life of others. So we need to activate our personal and global agency in order to be more intentional about our actions and interactions with the world around us. I know that sounds, again, very theoretical, but really that's the heart of the matter. We need to develop this agency inside ourselves. And most of all, and these are the words that Daniel Goleman said at the United Nations, I found it so wonderful. Achieving the 17 Sustainable Development Goals requires a global mindset that prioritizes the well-being of others as much as our own. And I think this is really the heart of the matter. And it's not easy. I know very well also in my own development, but that's our task. And I would like to show you a last video before we go into discussion, to inspire you how this can be done.
Get the hell off my cab! Move!
Hey, you cut me off!
stuck on this light forever. Your mother.
Oh, man.
What is wrong with you?
Did you learn to speak like this?
Your father, he never blew the horn once.
You're so hot-tempered.
So I am hot-tempered, so please just let's drop it.
I did not raise you that way.
Leave me alone.
Beta, take a breath. Breathe.
Around here,
you better back the hell off.
Oh, what, huh?
My friend, brothers and sisters, please keep your own mind, your own heart more compassionate. Sense of concern of others' well-being. Best present of my birthday.
Lovely. Thank you, Francis. That was really, really inspiring for us all. Thank you so much. And it really takes us nicely, doesn't it, into our time for our small group discussion. So we have, do you want to share the question that you'd like people to sort of discuss around, if you'd like? I've got it here if you'd like me to read it too.
Yes, well, it's just one question, but I think it's really the key question for this evening. How can we, as universal education facilitators, how can we inspire participants to our program to live in a more sustainable way?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's, you know, whatever programs we're involved with connected right. to where universal education in itself has that, you know, has the potential through all our programs.